Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down, my blood sugar is down, my weight's down, my health is up, my sleeping patterns are better, my metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Hello, America, and happy Thursday, a busy Thursday it is. Well, we've got the show of shows for you. We're not going to let you down. We've got some great guests. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages. All right, folks, as we draw near to another critical election, it's not only about casting your vote. It's about elevating your voice, making your voice be heard. AMAC is more than just a senior discount organization. They unite like-minded patriots like you and I, committed to preserving our cherished values and actively opposing the leftist agenda that's sweeping across America. Just look at their recent victories. AMAC members helped to push forward an investigation into practices that inflate drug prices. They successfully defeated ranked choice voting in order to protect traditional voting methods, and they also helped block a federal takeover of elections. As AMAC's membership grows, Washington is listening. Every new member strengthens this movement. If you love America, visit AMAC, amac.us/justnews to become a 4-year member for just $30. That's a great discount. AMAC is not only better for America, it's better for you. Membership gives you access to the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare guidance, money-saving discounts, trusted news, sweepstakes, and so much more. It's a community, not a service. Take advantage of our election year sale. 4 years for just $30 at AMAC. By joining over 2 million Americans, they can't ignore your voice in Washington anymore. Join now at AMAC, amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't, you'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back for the commercial break. I was up on Capitol Hill earlier this week, and the ground is literally vibrating, and there's one reason for it. Actually, one person for it. Marjorie Taylor Greene has decided to challenge Mike Johnson to do a motion to vacate because there's no record of accomplishment for conservative values. None of the things that Republicans promised they were going to get done in 2022 when they ran for election, won the House, has been done. So next Wednesday, another historic vote is likely to happen. We're very lucky to be joined by the very person who's made that ground shake, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene from the great state of Georgia. Congresswoman, welcome back to the show.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me back.
It is great to have you back. You're on the forefront of a very big, controversial, but also momentous moment where the gut check for the Republican Party is going to be had next Wednesday. Tell us how this plays out and why you're doing it.
Well, I think this is probably going to be one of the most important votes that we've seen this Congress. You know, I entered the motion to vacate just after Johnson passed the two-part omnibus, you know, weeks or over a month ago. And I've done it patiently. I've warned him. He had plenty of opportunity to change course after he completely betrayed us by funding Joe Biden's administration. And I gave my conference plenty of preparation time. You know, there was so much time and patience given to this. This is not something that I want to be doing. But after he reauthorized FISA and was the deciding vote against the warrant requirements, something that he himself had been for before he became speaker, and then after he fully funded Ukraine with another $61 billion and all these other foreign wars and foreign aid, without doing anything for the border, even though he went back against his promises, promising he wouldn't do that without doing something for the border. That's three betrayals, and he's fully, completely controlled by Chuck Schumer. For me, it was when Hakeem Jeffries and the entire Democrat leadership team came out and said they would all rally around him and protect him. To vote, they would vote for a motion to table against my motion to vacate. For me, it was like, this is the line. The Democrats have taken over our speaker. And, you know, no speaker ever wants their speakership protected by the opposing party. And Mike Johnson is completely fine with that.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. And sometimes, you know, you wonder, do the everyday voters of America understand what's going on here? There is a market shift in polling on Mike Johnson. Support from Trump and conservatives down double digits. Support from Democrats up. He's literally been gaining Democratic support and losing conservative support. That doesn't get reported very often. I think it's the Economist YouGov poll that has the best numbers on this because they've been polling every few weeks. But very clear dynamic over the last month. What do you think is going on with the base of the conservatives and the base of the Democrats?
Well, everyone sees it. This shows that our voters, that, you know, the voters that gave us the majority, the base that truly fights the hardest. These are the people that knock doors. These are the people that donate, you know, scrounge up money and send in donations to Republican candidates. These are the people that are engaged and watch our votes and watch the bills that we put in. And these are the people that are really engaged when they are turning their back on Mike Johnson. And Mike Johnson is gaining the Democrat support from the Democrat base. This is the most dangerous signal that everybody knows it. And, you know, here's what's frustrating to me. We all know there's a uniparty in Washington, John, and we always talk about it. And people talk about it all the time. Well, it's because of the uniparty is the exact reason why it's always the status quo and nothing ever changes in Washington. And, you know, this vote on the motion to vacate, when I call it, when we go back next week, it's going to prove who the uniparty is. If anyone wants to vote to table my motion to vacate, they're proving who they are. They're proving their membership in the uniparty, saying, no, 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 we're not going to rock the boat. No, 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 we're not going to make any changes. And there's no excuses for that. And let me explain one more thing, the reason why it's important to understand this. You know, some of my colleagues are out publicly making excuses like, oh, it's 6 months away from the election. You know, we can't do this right now. if our Republican conference cannot remove Mike Johnson, who's controlled by the Democrats, and put in someone that will actually fight for our Republican agenda, then we are lying to the American people when we say we can do anything at all. That means that everything happening on committees, any votes that happen, is a complete lie if we can't remove a Democrat-controlled speaker.
You and President Trump usually see eye on most things. Obviously, he's been doubling down and trying to stand behind Mike Johnson, get him through this period. Any concern that you and Trump are on different sides of this debate right now?
Oh, I support President Trump wholly and completely. And the issue here is President Trump is focused on winning his election, and that should be his focus. You know, he shouldn't be drug into the middle of House Republicans' fight and the problem we're having with Mike Johnson. He should be focusing on beating these witch hunt trials that he's having to sit in the courtroom every single day for. And he should be out on the campaign trail focusing on winning this election. I support President Trump. I'm one of his biggest fighters in Congress, and I'll continue to do that. But I'm not going to allow the Republican speaker that I elected to continue to pass Joe Biden's agenda, which includes funding the Department of Justice, which is trying to put President Trump in jail for the rest of his life.
I want to turn to the potential outcome. So we count heads here every day. I think Mike Johnson probably has enough votes to survive this. But you're going to proceed anyways. I want to ask, what do you even if it fails, and you never say never, something could change, obviously, hearts and minds could change between now and Wednesday. But if it fails, what do you still hope you accomplish by having this vote? What will be the outcome or the benefit to the vote? Does it just put everyone on record where they stand in this appeasement to the Democrats?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think the American people fully need to see this list. They need to see the list of Republicans that are willing to fight for this country, that are willing to fight against Joe Biden's destructive agenda, the ones that are willing to hold a speaker accountable for completely betraying our party and betraying everything that he claimed to be. That's a list that I think the people need to see. I believe in the people. I do not. That's the only thing I believe in, John. And I think people need to know that. And I also want to see a list of Democrats who are willing to step out there and vote for a Republican speaker. I think that says a lot, too. And I think that their voters and their constituents need to see it as well. You know, some of these Democrats saying that they'll vote for Mike Johnson are going to have to go back home to their districts and say they voted for a speaker that claims to be a Christian, that calls himself conservative, that's pro-life, that is for many things that they're against. So I think that plays favorably for us as well.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty remarkable. I want to turn to something else that happened yesterday. There was a lot of cheering in the traditional media about this. An anti-Semitism bill that adopts a definition of anti-Semitism is adopted. I know Congress is trying to address some of this hatred we see on campus. You voted against it not because you don't want to fight anti-Semitism, because I know that is very dear to your heart, but you have some concerns about two of the definitions, one related to the Bible, one just related to free speech. Could you tell us a little bit about why you voted no and what people may not know about this bill?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I'm completely against anti-Semitism or denouncing anti-Semitism. But this bill is dangerous because it really does put a violation on free speech. And free speech is important. We have to protect it, even speech that we disagree with. And that's the reality of free speech. So I voted no for those reasons alone. But there's really some dangerous things here because of the language of the bill saying that the contemporary examples and the contemporary definitions of anti-Semitism are what's supposed to be used when defining anti-Semitism according to the language of the bill. And when you look up contemporary examples, one of the ones that comes up is believing that Jesus was killed by the Jews. Well, according to the Gospels in the Bible in the New Testament, in fact, it says that Jesus was handed over to Herod to be killed by the Jews. And that is the reality, and that is what we believe as Christians. And according to this bill, it's anti-Semitic for college students to say that or to believe that. So it's claiming that their Christian faith based on the gospel of the Bible is anti-Semitic. And I just can't comprehend how anybody can vote for that. That is absolutely not true at all. Absolutely not true at all. The other thing, John, is George Soros, who funds the radical left in America and some of the worst things that happen in our country and around the world, George Soros is Jewish. And so these very college protests today that are being funded by George Soros on their college campuses, according to Mike Lawler's new Anti-Semitism Act, it would make it, they could be convicted of being anti-Semitic if they protest and speak out against George Soros, because that would be speaking out against someone that is Jewish. And that's completely wrong. It makes no sense at all.
Yeah, I didn't know about this. And yeah, Josh Perkin brought this up yesterday in the podcast. And there's a large number of people concerned about it. Again, everyone wants to repudiate what's going on in these college campuses, but how you deal with it in the fine print of these definitions is something that maybe hasn't been thought through. I know you and Josh Perkin and others are really trying to educate the public on it. I want to turn to something that's going to happen next week. There is some votes, I think, planned for next week beyond the motion to vacate to focus on what to do with college funding and how to begin to create a consequence for these colleges that have allowed this to go on, to create a consequence for students who've participated and to create a consequence for NGOs and others who've funded this extraordinary display of hate and unrest and intimidation and really deprivation of civil liberties. Is there some ideas on the table that get you excited about how you can send not only a message, but a consequence to universities that will let this go on for so long?
Oh, yeah. And this is an easy one. It's the common sense solution. We're over $34 trillion in debt. So the easiest way to deal with these colleges and universities is to defund them. And that saves the American taxpayers some money. And it cuts down on our government spending, which also helps inflation. I mean, this is it's a win-win for everyone. You know, if you have a college or university where you're going to allow funded protests that are dangerous, that are anti-Semitic, that are filled with hate, any kind of hate, then you know what? And you're going to take over college campuses, attacking other students for their identity, stopping students from being able to learn and do what they're there for. You lose your government funding. I think it's pretty easy. This is the solution we should have dealt with this week in Congress, but we are led by Mike Johnson, who is not doing a good job and continues to ruin everything that we're trying to accomplish in Washington, D.C.
Obviously, Mike Johnson for a long time shared, at least in his expression of values, many values that you share. But since he's gotten into a position of power, he hasn't been able to deliver on those values at all. In fact, quite frankly, he may have actually helped the left extend their values. No place is that more frustrating, I think, to the American people than Mike Johnson coming out of the box saying, we're not going to pass Ukraine war funding unless we secure the border. And then they didn't secure the border. They did pass Ukraine funding. And in that larger bill, there's $3.5 billion to help the continuation of the resettlement of illegal aliens across this country, refugee assistance, migration money. It's a large amount of money. What will American voters take from that part of his record and the Congress's record right now?
Well, I think the big takeaway there is the truth, and that is Mike Johnson gave $3.5 billion to Joe Biden for Joe Biden to be able to bring in so-called refugees from Gaza into America, and Joe Biden has now said he wants to make them citizens, which means they can vote in our elections. So not only do these people get brought into our country and given free citizenship on like a fast pass level, the American taxpayers are going to fund it, and that's all thanks to our so-called Republican speaker, Mike Johnson. And this is why I cannot express loudly enough, our Republican conference needs to step up and put everybody's big boy and big girl pants on, and we need to remove Mike Johnson and put someone in, and it's easy. I'll take anybody at this point over Mike Johnson that will actually push for our Republican agenda in this remaining 6 or 7 months we have left here. And if we can't do that, then I think our voters are going to say, why do I want to vote for these people again?
That is a real risk here. I have talked to a lot of lawmakers from all different sides, people who are more moderate, people as conservative as you, people who support President Trump. I haven't found a Republican yet who says, I see a pathway to get some wins between now and November. It seems as though the Republican agenda or the conservative agenda has come to an end until the election. Am I wrong in that, or am I hearing the right things from the people on the front lines?
Yeah, no. Listen, here's the reality. Yes, we can get, there's one major win we can get, and that is stop giving the Democrats what they want, period. That would be a win. It's easy. It's just by saying no. And right now, Mike Johnson says yes to everything Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer ask him to do. He says yes, and he keeps jumping through the hoops. And so the win for the rest of the conference is to say no to Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries. And it's going to require someone else in the speakership to do that, even if it's somebody that serves temporarily until, God willing, we win the election in November and have a new Congress in January. I mean, this is, it is, you know how pathetic it is, John? The American people work their butt off every day, and they make hard decisions and they do hard things every single day, and no one bails them out of that. But yet members of Congress are saying, oh, it's too hard for us. We can't do it, Marjorie. I'm sorry. I'm to the point where I'm not taking these pitiful excuses anymore. Why are they even in Washington, D.C. if they can't step up and do the right thing? It's beyond me. I can't take the excuses anymore.
Your passion, your determination is very, very clear. I want to ask you just because I know you're counting heads. Do you have a guess of how many Republicans will join you next Wednesday? What's your guess right now?
I have no idea, but I hope that they are thinking hard about it this weekend because that list is going to be public. That is going to be a public recorded vote. It is, and it's going to be everywhere. And I can tell you right now, the entire there's two types of media. We got the media industrial complex, which is the Murdochs and the MSNBCs and the CNNs. You know, you have all those. And then you have the conservative media, John, and that ranges from you, Tucker Carlson, Steve Bannon, Charlie Kirk, all of them. I can tell you right now, the conservative media in this country is 100% behind removing Mike Johnson, and they're going to be blasting that vote list out everywhere. And I think that's what my Republican colleagues need to truly understand, that they need, it's time to do the right thing. And we voted for Mike Johnson. He is our speaker. We need to hold him accountable.
There is a very clear factual record upon which this debate is going to turn next week. Facts are a stubborn thing, and I think everyone who looks at it will see the inability to get anything done since he became speaker. That's undeniable. No matter where you stand on the man or the moment or the politics of this, the Republicans don't have anything big to hang their hat on their delivery list that they promised the American people. That's a fact that is going to exist no matter what happens next Wednesday. Congresswoman, it's always an honor to have you on. We always learn so much, and you have a clarity about where you stand that I think is refreshing for most Americans. Even if they disagree with you, they know where you stand, and that is always a great thing.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You as well. We'll be watching closely next Wednesday. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, someone who's working close to get the right people in position in government if President Trump wins in November is going to join us. Chiron Skinner, working hard to get the deep staters out and new fresh blood into these agencies. We'll have that right after these messages. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-200. G-O-L-D, gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653, or gold. Or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
All right, folks. Welcome back from the commercial break. The world feels like it is spinning out of control for so many people. Why is that? Because American policy is unclear. American resolve is weak and muted. And our enemies are emboldened and our allies are confused, if not sometimes offended by the way Joe Biden's administration has gone about foreign policy. So much of American soft power is now in question. And of course, that raises questions about our hard power as well. Our next guest is one of the brightest thinkers in the national security space. She was the former director of policy planning at the State Department under President Trump, currently a professor at Pepperdine's School of Public Policy and a fellow at such great places as Hoover Institute and Heritage, where she's helping to build the next generation of federal servants who will actually abide by what the president gives as policy direction. Joining me right now, my good friend, Kyron Skinner. Good to have you on, Kyron.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
All right. So there's a lot going on across this country. I want to start with the new book out by UK Prime Minister Liz Truss, because I think the way she frames the next few years in terms of Western civilization, it really is that stark a moment in history. Is America ready to reclaim leadership if President Trump's elected?
Absolutely. And speaking of former UK Prime Minister Truss' book, it's so important. It is a warning. It is a cautionary tale about how those forces that have built up in the Western world, not just Washington, because we live in this bubble and we think it's only Washington, but it's in the UK, it's in other parts of Western Europe and the broader Western world. We have a set of forces that have built up that are anti-Western. And, you know, in the past, we've looked to the East for our opposition. We've looked to communist states, but we've got it right in our own countries. And that's what she's trying to tell us, but not within our own nations only, within our own governments, our federal governments. And she just establishes a story that's hard to refute. It's based on empirical evidence. It's based on her experience of having no more than 100 political appointees against a civil service system that believes being an unelected bureaucrat is more important than standing before the voters, as she and others have done.
That is such a great way of describing really what the fulcrum upon which this debate is going to turn. There are bureaucrats who want to carry out their own agenda, not the agenda of the elected officials that Americans have put their trust in. I think that's what we saw all throughout the Trump years. A lot of people say, well, how are we going to prevent it? If Donald Trump gets in again, how do we prevent that the administrative state, the anti-Trump Democrats and Republicans don't one up us again? I know you've been doing a lot of thinking and planning for that moment. Tell us some of the things you're doing with Heritage.
Well, first of all, I have to say Dr. Kevin Roberts, the relatively new president of Heritage, was, I think, had a brilliant insight as a Washington outsider, comes into town and says, you know, here's all of the stories about the personnel problems the Trump administration faced, and said Heritage did something in 1980 that helped Ronald Reagan succeed as president with its own mandate for leadership book. We can do it again. But this time, we have done something, or Heritage has done something that has never been done. I believe it's unprecedented. I am a historian, so I'm trying to speak here with some objectivity, even though I'm involved in the process. Not just a book that provides a review of the agencies, the policies, and the rules and regulations, but that's on one stream. But there are other streams of this as well. There is a pillar that addresses personnel, and there's something like a conservative LinkedIn with thousands of people having submitted their materials, being vetted as we speak. And then there's training as well, something called Pillar 3, where people are learning how to be in government, how not to walk into traps, what are the options for actually even firing some career officials. So this is a comprehensive effort. I've been involved in the first pillar, which was the public book that came out a year ago, and the likes of Hillary Clinton have talked about it and said that we're planning evil deeds if we go into government. I take that as the sign that we've rattled the cage with really good ideas. So I really ask your audience to look at the Mandate for Leadership book, Pillar 1, that came out in last year. And then there's this final pillar, which is the confidential playbook for the candidate. And I'm helping to co-lead the State Department side along with Ambassador Christopher Landau. And we have assembled more than 150 people who have helped us think through what are the top priorities in the diplomacy space that the next Secretary of State and President should focus on. This is so comprehensive. It's being done for every agency. And also, something that I feel is going to endure is the fact that more than 100 conservative think tanks, research centers, advocacy groups, and universities have come under one umbrella to support this effort. And what's been going on, as you know, in the 21st century, John, and we've talked about this several times, there's been something of a civil war and disquiet among Republicans slash conservatives on policy. After we prevailed in the Cold War, I really do think the Republican side lost its way. There was this kind of triumphalism that prevailed for a number of years. And then 9/11 happened, and George W. Bush, as president, never got the opportunity to develop a full-scale grand strategy because his administration had to pivot to the global war on terror. And, you know, they made some mistakes, but in the heat of war you do with Afghanistan and Iraq. But by the time Donald Trump comes along, he is prepared to kind of end that chapter with the de-ISIS campaign, which was hugely successful from a standpoint of U.S. security. Not that ISIS went away. We saw ISIS-K recently in its resurgent activities. But Trump said the world has changed, and we've got to look at it in a very different way. And so where he started the development of a 21st century strategic doctrine that took on great power competition. Yes, the Trump doctrine, the rise of the global South, China in particular. None of this had been done until Trump. He created a brand new foreign policy consensus. The Biden administration, you know, they appear to really loathe Trump, but they've maintained much of what he's done. It's been hard to undo. And so I think we're going to see a well-articulated strategy in a second Trump term. The noise will still be there, but the personnel will be better. The ideas are sharper, more refined. And I think Trump will be refreshed by the enormous victory that the American people will hand him.
Pretty remarkable. For most of the modern era, the American foreign policy and security policy was driven by the discussion, what is the American interest? And when you look at the formation of the Trump Doctrine, President Trump began every time by describing what the American interest was and then why the policies will flow from it. Under Biden, it's very hard to understand what our end game, what our interest is, whether it's Ukraine or Iran or other things. How big an impediment has it been that the Biden administration literally can't even describe what the American intent or interest is in for many of its foreign policies?
John, I'm so glad that you asked me that question, because by 2017, as a Hoover Fellow, I was going all over the country speaking about the Trump Doctrine when no one said there was one. And I motivated that conversation by saying, if you look at, if you read carefully or listen to Trump's first UN General Assembly speech, UNGA, as they call it, and then if you follow those speeches, the four together are a body of work about the national interest that no 21st century president has given, and that few presidents have ever given. And he said, and they, you know, they call it America first, but it doesn't matter what you call it. He said, what should drive a nation first is its commitment to the national interest. And what does the national interest mean? It means protecting the political and territorial integrity of the nation state. It means that the nation state is the core unit of analysis in the international system. Not that multilateral institutions are unimportant or they don't matter, but in the hierarchy, the nation state is where people find safety, security, opportunity, are protected, and vote. And that's where it should begin. So he began a conversation about sovereignty. That affects, that relates to the border, but it's not the border alone. And it was very articulate, very detailed, very theoretical, but practical at the same time. And I think that is what was driving him. What I wish had happened, because when I arrived at the State Department, you know, little Miss Academic, I said to as many staff members as I could, read the President's UNGA speeches. Career official said something interesting to me, and some of the political appointees as well. Those speeches aren't guidance. It's the national security strategy. It's the national defense strategy, which were basically mandated by Congress that we follow. It was an aha moment for me, because I realized the president can give the greatest speech in the world, the Secretary of State or defense. But if you don't bake it into those documents, an NDAA, the National Security Strategy, the bureaucracy really won't move. And so I think one of the missed opportunities of the Trump administration is that we didn't do a second National Security Strategy. The first one came out under H.R. McMaster and Nadia Shadlow, brilliant thinkers and national security professionals. But they were talking about great power competition. They were describing the state of play, which was itself a big advance. We needed a second one to bake in the argument. And, you know, the time, the clock just ran out on us. And, you know, Trump was facing impeachment and all kinds of other things that drained the energy of the foreign policy community. So you're absolutely right, national interest. And this administration does have a definition of the national interest. It's a very different one, but it leads to more chaos. And that is that multilateral institutions are actually superior to the state, that unelected bureaucrats are superior to the state, that what elites want should determine policy. I absolutely believe that's what we're facing in this administration, a very different worldview.
Yeah, that's really well put. In fact, I've never heard anyone actually put it that way, but that really is a great definition of what we've seen in the last 3+ years. I want to turn to just some breaking news before we wrap. Obviously, huge protests on college campuses. Most Americans disgusted by what they're seeing. These aren't anti-war protests. These are anti-Israel, anti-Jewish protests designed to disrupt students' education and to intimidate. Joe Biden took really weeks to have a significant response to it. He finally said a little bit today, violent protest is not a protected piece of form of speech. Okay. Did the president wait too long to really condemn what's been going on?
I think it's really difficult as an academic myself. As someone who's been in the academy basically my whole life, It's hard. These issues are hard because they, you know, we've been through this before in the 1960s, starting with Berkeley in 64, Columbia in 68, and campuses were, you know, really kind of litigating some big issues around free speech, and some of it really mattered. Some of it changed, helped change our country. That's not what's going on now, obviously. And it's really hard to figure out when and how to address what's going on with young people and faculty, by the way. The students aren't alone in this. And here's how I am looking at this. We've been set up. No president could figure this out easily and say the right thing at the right time, because what we've allowed in K through 16 has been so anti-American that it's hard for us to believe when we see the anti-American, anti-West, anti-Israel, anti-Semitic activities coming out of our universities. I don't think we knew how bad it was. And to watch it unfold, it is. I haven't met a person who has said that they knew it was this bad, that the misinformation, the disinformation, the lack of understanding, the poor education of our young people. That's what's led them here. So it takes a moment to even absorb what's going on. And I've said publicly the cure for all of this is to change about 7 courses in the core curriculum. Return U.S. history, return the study of Western civilization, return the study of basic economics to the curriculum, and not all these other fringe so-called intellectual activities. That will begin to have a different outcome. So I'm not defending what Bush has done, Biden has done, his timing, but what I am saying is this is a bigger, deeper issue about the intellectual bankruptcy of the academy at this moment.
Yeah. Any doubt in your mind that foreign influence is behind some of this?
Absolutely. It always is. Foreign dollars, American dollars, leftists. And I don't even like to use that term, but people who just are not for America as a predominant power on earth. That is what we're facing. I happen to believe that the world is better off when the United States is a predominant actor, and it still is, that every day is a better day for most of the rest of the world and definitely for our nation. We haven't been perfect, but we've done a lot of good in the world. We are among the most generous people, generous to a fault. We are paying better than 60% of the military assistance to Ukraine. When the European Union, that collection of nations, is one of the biggest economies in the world. Not quite as big as ours, but huge. They could do more. We're helping all over the world. So I want to support Donald Trump in buying us another generation of freedom, because it's one generation at a time, as Ronald Reagan said. But the forces that we're seeing on campus haven't been taught about the America that has done good in the world. And they haven't been taught about Israel as the sole truly functioning democracy in the Middle East. They haven't been told the basic facts. In a world that has billions and billions of people, there are less than 20 million Jewish people left. These facts aren't coming through. So let's work together, John, on the American Academy and saving it. And let's start with the core curriculum.
Very, very important mission for all of us if we're going to make some good out of the insanity we're currently watching. I want to finish with one foreign policy thing that doesn't get enough attention, I think, in the media, but maybe one of the more consequential things that have happened in the last few months. We've been jettisoned out of one and possibly now two African countries that gave us significant visibility in the war on terror, on African extremism, on China encroachment in the African continent. What's happened in Niger, in Chad, and the sudden withdrawal of troops, the sudden loss of camaraderie with former allies seems to be really consequential. How big a deal is this when you look at what we need to do in Africa?
So this is really a bipartisan problem, and I know you're talking about Niger and our pullout there. There's been no Africa strategy in the 21st century. It's a bipartisan issue. There's a lack of understanding that the future of the globe rests on what happens on the continent of Africa. And by 2030, 1/4 of the youth population will be on the continent. By 2050, the continent will dwarf India and China, which are declining in populations, even though they have huge populations and diasporas. As the continent, it is diverse, in terms of countries and religion and traditions, but we can't survive as a major power without lots of African allies. The future of Europe rests on what happens in North Africa, the Mediterranean. This administration is not alone in making major missteps, pulling out of countries. The future of the global war on terror is there as well.
It really is. It's such an important thing, and it doesn't get any discussion, and you're right.
The global war on terror is going to be fought there for years. So all of these things, I think the current administration in Washington doesn't understand. But it's really a pity. We're going to have to pick all of this up when Trump comes back into office. I'm actually determined to be involved in the Africa strategy and develop one and new relationships that will endure. We need them.
Yeah. Now, this is a moment for great evaluation. That's why all the work you're doing to get the right people in position and the right policies and the right definition of the American interest is going to be so important to the next presidency. Chiron, it is always an honor to have you on. Real quick, for folks who want to keep your wisdom coming all day long, you've got one of the best Twitter feeds. Tell folks how they can stay in touch with you.
Just Chiron Skinner. Really easy. K-I-R-O-N, Skinner, one word.
I recommend everybody follow Chiron. She is one of the greatest security and foreign policy thinkers we have in our country right now. What a great honor to have you on. I know we'll make this more regular, but Chiron, thanks for having us, spending some time with us today.
Thank you. This has been great.
Yeah, a lot of fun. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back to wrap things up in just a second.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's hard to believe, but that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. I'm really grateful that each of you could join today. Now, one reminder, a lot of people say, hey, John, do you have an app at the Just the News? And the answer is we sure do. And not only do we have an app, it's in the Apple Store. It's also in the Android Store. It allows you to take the Just the News experience and go in three different ways. You can watch our videos and television shows. You can listen to this podcast and many others like it, like Victor Davis Hanson, or you can read the stories that we do a day, 50, 60, 70 stories a day of the breaking news, investigative reporting, accountability reporting. Go to the iOS App Store or the Android Store today. Download the Just the News app. Read, watch, listen. Three great ways to experience the Just the News content and to join the Just the News family. And if you really want to get involved with the family and say, hey, I want to support your investigative reporting, John Solomon. I want to support the great reporters and the producers and the bookers and everybody that works to make the Just the News experience possible. You can do something really inexpensive that makes a big difference. All you got to do is join the Just the News VIP Club. That's right. What do you get for the VIP Club? First off, ad-free experience on the website and on your newsletters. No ads, no dancing videos, no autoplay videos. an ad-free experience on Just the News 24/7. Plus, once a month, you get to hang out with me at justthenews.com. We have a town hall. I sit and answer your questions for an hour. We talk about issues you care about. We cover topics that the other media aren't covering. It's an incredible experience to join the family, the immediate family of the Just the News team. Great opportunity. Sometimes we bring in our reporters. It's always a delightful time. If you want to get involved in that, go to justthenews.com/subscribe. justthenews.com/subscribe. Quick way to get into the club. It's $4.99 a month, $44.99 a year. Great way to support our journalism, make a difference, and get an enormous benefit yourself. So go check it out today. All right, folks, that wraps up John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. God bless you. God bless you. Have a great night. God bless this great country of the United States. Be sure to go to justthenews.com if you need that news fix. We got you covered 24/7. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 Gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.